that's the only name worthy of your praise. Would you give him glory this morning? Why don't we lift up the name of Jesus? Hallelujah. Oh, we praise you. If you haven't spoken that name yet, why don't you speak it in the middle of your praise and worship and watch and see how close he gets and how much he praises.
Call out to me, for I can distinguish your voice. I know who you are. But not only can I distinguish your voice, but I can distinguish the need that you have. So whatever that need is, if you need healing, call out right now, my healing power is upon you.
Yes. Yes.
If you need wisdom, call out. If you need peace or hope, call out. I am distinguishing every detail of the situation. I know details that you do not know about as yet. But I am going to take care of it before you even know about those parts and those details. For I am a God who can distinguish every person, every need, and most of all, what your soul needs, saith the Lord. Hallelujah.
Jesus. Why don't we do that right now? Would you call on that name of Jesus? Would you call on his name? And he just spoke to us. He's going to hear it. Every time you call on that name, he's going to hear it. If you've got a need in the house today or you need something immediate today, that name has all power to heal and to strengthen. I wonder if you just lift your hand. If you have an immediate need and you need an immediate God to come in and do the miraculous, he's able to do it right now by the power of the name of Jesus. Lord, we lift up your name today, and we know that you are responding right now, and we're doing as you've asked and told us. We are calling on you, and we know that you hear our voice today and that you're responding with the miraculous and with healing and with provision in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in your name, Lord, in Jesus' name. Oh, why don't we glorify that name together once again? We praise you, Jesus. We glorify that holy name that's above every sickness and above every storm and above every trial. Your name trumps them all, God. Your name can bring peace to every life and situation and every storm. In the name of Jesus. It is evident and clear that God's glory is here. I hope I feel most at home right here. This is where I should feel at home today, right in the middle of the glory of God. We start to glorify that name and send up our praise and His glory floods the room and the place like it does today. Even in pre-service prayer time, just a heaviness. I feel like there is an eternal weight on this service today. What we do here today will be of eternal consequence. God is preparing us and helping us by His presence and Word. I'm going to invite you to turn with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19. And while you're turning, I want to reiterate how thankful we have or are to have all of our guests with us today at APC. What an honor it is to have you. And we believe that this same glory of God, whether you're here in the building, you're watching via live stream, is meeting with you and can and will change your life as it has ours. Hebrews 10 and 19 says, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He consecrated for us through the veil, that is His flesh. Having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near the true heart in full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." You're thankful you've been washed today. "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." The writer of Hebrews encourages his readers, exercise the functions of the church. Assemble together, hold fast the confession of your hope, stir up one another, draw near to God. And he says to do it all, so much the more as you see the day, capital D, approaching. There are various opinions on what that day is, but the most widely accepted one seems to be the day of the Lord, or the day that the Lord returns. So if you take that interpretation, you read it like this. As you see the Lord's return coming nearer, gather together. Exercise faith. Draw closer to God. Might I insert, glorify the name of Jesus in your life. Unite with one another and do it all the more. Exhort one another. Don't forsake assembling with one another. Don't waver in your faith. Be the church and be the church all the more as the day draws closer. Verse 35 adds, "Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and He who's coming will come, and will not tarry or delay." Be the church until He comes. Be the church until He comes. I want to preach to you from that simple title today, "Until He Comes." I believe that that great day is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. And we've got to be the church until He comes. Would you pray with me this morning and pray like eternity is hinging on this day and what we're going to hear and explore today. Lord, we believe in the power of Your Word, and I thank You that Your glory and Your presence has accompanied us and Your Word to the house today. And I'm asking that You'd anoint us to hear and to receive everything that You have planned for us. I pray that we'd walk out of here differently, Lord, and we would live differently until You come. That what we hear today will change the way we live and walk and talk and are. In Jesus' name, we ask for Your Word and we invite it in our lives. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. I know we're heading into fall. As I recount on the last several months, I remember that summer times were always a highlight in the DeLong house, and during my formative years as a young child and as a young adult, along with my siblings, especially my two sisters, since my brother was at work most days, I made many, many fond memories in those late 90s and early 2000 summers. Equipped with my bicycle and equipped with 100 less pounds, I could go about anywhere that I wanted to go. I could ride to the gas station. I could go up the hill of our street. I could explore the woods. I could go to at least any notable landmark within a mile of my house. You can imagine how many notable landmarks there actually were. Not all that, but added to that, the time that we spent outside and the vacations and the camping trips and the lake trips and 4th of July parties, the staying over at friends' houses and staying up late as well as sleeping in late, all of these epitomized summer. and the DeLong family house, and I'm sure I could go on and on about each of those, but none of those actually pertain to what I'm trying to convey today, so I won't. I'll spare you that. But instead, I'll tell you about another summer memory that surfaced in my mind while I contemplated this thought and the prospect of the soon coming of the Lord. Oddly enough, this memory revolved around the chores that we were assigned to do around the house each and every day of our summer. Michelle could attest to this. I know that sounds strange offhand, but allow me to explain that before Mom leave the house for work each day, she'd have a list of chores for us to accomplish around the house. And this, I'm told, is the primary benefit of having children in the first place. They handle the chores. The chores consisted of vacuuming, cleaning our rooms, cleaning the dishes in the kitchen. I hated that one. Organizing the garage, painting the shed that I shot up with my paintball gun. Cleaning the pool and the skimmer, folding laundry and more laundry and more laundry and more laundry, 6 people's worth of laundry. So each day we would have an assignment, one that was to be completed before Mom and Dad got home from work in that afternoon. Since we were living in that household and we were partaking of all of its blessings, we were expected to do our share of the responsibility. We had a limited time frame in which to do it. Now you may ask, well, what in the world does that have to do with Hebrews 10 or with the return of the Lord? Well, a lot, actually. You see, we were procrastinators by nature. So we'd often put these assignments and these chores off into the later hours of the day. Now, before you get ahead of yourselves, this is not a reflection on this church or anyone here, but just follow me for a moment. Because of our procrastination, we left a lot of work to be done within the final hour, final moments of Mom and Dad's arrival. Typically around 2:30 or 3 p.m., we start to get a little uneasy. A little nervous. Around 4, we knew we needed to get something going. Around 4:30, we knew we were in trouble if we hadn't started yet. And for the sake of full disclosure, I'll tell you that we did a lot of panic cleaning during those summer months. We knew Mom was coming. So we'd shove clothes and misplaced items in whatever rooms we could find, hoping she didn't find it later. We'd fill the trash can in the last possible moment before she walked in the door. The dishwasher would still be humming as she came into the house. We knew Mama was coming, so we did everything in our power to get the house ready. We knew the time was at hand. So we got to work and we did some of our best work under that kind of pressure. We could tell by the hour of the day and by the position of the sun itself that things had to get done quickly, and we were soon to present ourselves before our Mom and Dad. We were soon to be held accountable for what we did do or for what we didn't do that day. We were soon to stand before our parents in order to present ourselves along with the condition of our house, whether clean or unclean. Let me pause here and say that there is likewise coming a day in which we will present ourselves before Jesus along with the condition of our spiritual houses, which we are called to present as holy and without spot or wrinkle before Him. Indeed, Ephesians 5 and 27 says He's coming back for us that He might present to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. There will be a day in which each of us will stand before a holy God as He inspects the condition of our hearts and our spiritual temples in order to discern whether they are clean or unclean, righteous or unrighteous, holy or unholy. There will be a day when these earthen vessels and these houses are inspected by a God who made it entirely possible for us to be cleansed and completely covered by His precious blood. There will be a moment in which we stand before a holy God, the same God who called for us to be holy, and we will give an account for every moment and every thought and every action. There will be an interaction before His throne. A throne of judgment, but thank God, also a throne of mercy. An interaction, I believe, is soon coming, and one that ultimately determines our eternal destiny. This is why I've come today to remind someone of His soon coming. And I've also come to remind someone you have an opportunity this morning for repentance and an opportunity for forgiveness. You have an opportunity to clean the house today. You can be covered by His grace and His mercy and His shed blood. So you can be ready for that day when He comes, and I believe it's coming very soon. You can spend some time today repenting of your sins and have them all washed away in baptism by the power of the name of Jesus. And you can have that happen in this service and in this place or whatever place you occupy today. We saw this firsthand last week, little Ashlyn. And then several weeks ago with Brother Anthony, two individuals from very different backgrounds and very different understandings. But what they had in common was that every sin from their lives was washed away by the power of the name of Jesus. I want to tell someone that there is a day approaching in which you will stand before Jesus, and you can stand before Him clean and washed and renewed by His mercy and by His grace. That day is closer than it's ever been. And you have the opportunity to repent this morning. Turn away from any lifestyle of sin and to eventually stand before Him fully covered, fully set free from sin or darkness or any addiction along with it. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it." He's faithful. He's coming. And you can clean the house today by way of what Jesus did on the cross when He died for your sins and those of all of humanity. Whether you've been here 10 minutes or 10 years, you can repent this morning. You can turn away from any sin. You can clean the house. You can be presentable again. You can leave this place spotless. You can stand before Him clean. You can live a holy lifestyle until He returns and comes back for His church, a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. This day, I believe, is an opportunity before we come to that day when we will stand before both our Redeemer and our righteous Judge. And as I said, that day is arriving soon. As was the case in our home and during those summer months, there are clear signs today that Jesus is coming soon. During those months at home, just one look at the clock told us all we needed to know, really. One examination of the afternoon shadows told us that the time was at hand. Even the heat of the afternoon sun itself was a clear indication of the proximity of the arrival of our parents. And not only that, but oftentimes mom and dad would call us ahead of time just to let us know we're headed home. Let me pause here and say, I believe this is one of those calls. Coming soon. Be there soon. Point is, their arrival was evident. It was imminent. Signs were clear. The coming was close at hand. It was blatantly obvious, as is the soon coming of the Lord. If I've ever been convinced He's coming soon, that His arrival's close at hand, I'm convinced now. Signs are evident. Times are clear. One look at the proverbial clock will tell you Jesus is coming soon. He said Himself in Matthew 24, "You'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in various places. See any of these things recently? All of these are the beginning of sorrows. They'll deliver you up to tribulation. They'll kill you. You'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake." What a promise. "Then many will be offended. They'll betray one another. They'll hate one another." Any of that sound familiar? "Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." The end is coming. That day is approaching. The hour's at hand. The signs are abundant. The indications are abounding. The precursors are prevalent. However you want to put it today, he who shall come, and will not delay. He told us Himself in Revelation 3, and then at the end of the book in chapter 22 and verse 20, "He who testifies to these things says, 'Surely I am coming quickly, amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.'" That's how He ended the book. That continues to be the cry of the church in this hour and this day. "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." As we anticipate your arrival and the day we get to see you face to face, He's coming quickly. And you and I are called to anticipate and be ready for the day in which He arrives. Until He comes, Say that with me. Until he comes. We have to be ready. We've got to make sure to clean the house. We've got to make sure to keep it clean. You know, looking back on those summer months I referenced, we always knew when it was crunch time. When it was time to get to work. When it was time to get to cleaning, especially when mom and dad got to the top of our street at Cortina Drive, they would call us and say, hey, I'm at the top of the street. That meant they were about 95 to 99% of the way home. That also meant we had about 1 minute to stuff everything we could into our hiding places. Clean the last bit of the house we could, as fast as we could. We knew we had to get the house in order and that there was a lot of work to be done in a short amount of time. I just feel like the Lord is at the top of the proverbial street this morning. We just don't have a lot of time left. We're seeing about every sign in the book we could see right in front of our eyes. We ought to recognize it's time to get the house in order. And not only that, but recognize there's also a lot of work to be done in a short amount of time. He's coming soon, but until he arrives, we've got work to do, church. Wednesday night, General Conference, Brother Mark Dross said that revival is spelled W-O-R-K. We've got a lot of revival and a lot of work to be done. We're in the home stretch of this thing. And we've got some Bible studies to teach. We've got some disciples to make before he comes. We've got work to be done in revival to see in our city. We've got neighbors to reach, and we've got coworkers to influence. We've got P7 clubs to start and CMI chapters to launch. We've got a community to impact, and we've got a city to save. We've got work to be done today. This is so much more about just making sure that our houses are clean, but we've got more work to be done than that in these final hours. We've got a harvest to gather. We've got unsaved loved ones to see redeemed. We've got prodigals to bring back home again. Jesus is coming soon. The signs are evident. The day is fast approaching. The forewarnings are loud and clear. So I've got to get to work like he's coming right around the corner. I've got to disciple like he's coming soon. I've got to reach people like he's coming just down the road. And I've got to be the church so much the more as I see the day approaching. I cannot afford to sit on my hands in this hour. I can't afford to be asleep. Give a half-hearted effort. I've got to make sure to clean the house, and I've got to make sure as many people as possible have the opportunity to do the same through the saving power and gospel of Jesus Christ. He's coming soon, so I've got to get to work until he comes. I'll never forget the day my dad came home early from work one day. Woke me up out of a dead sleep. As a young teenager, I'd stayed up too late the night before, and Dad came home early for lunch. I didn't expect to see him that early. I just didn't expect the Father to be coming so soon. I remember waking me up from sleeping in late. He said, Brad, get up. Not only that, he said, you're not doing this anymore. You can't be asleep this late in the day. Said, instead, you're going to go to work every day. You're going to get a job. You 14-year-old, you're going to go to work every day. Probably one of the best things my dad ever did for me. And the parallels ring true today in the service. We cannot afford to sit on our hands or to be lulled to sleep in this hour. We can't sleep or be caught unaware and unalert when the Father comes looking for us. We've got to be awake. We've got to be alert. We've got to get to work. Luke 21:34 tells us, take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the earth. Watch, therefore. The ESV says, stay awake always. Pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. Don't be lulled to sleep. Don't be distracted by the cares of life. Instead, hold fast the confession of your hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Stir up some good works. Hold fast the profession of your hope. Don't waver. Don't be distracted. Be the church. Be the body of Christ, and do it all the more. See the day coming. I just feel like God is just stirring someone awake this morning. Like my dad did for me that day. Wake up, clean the house, get to work, make some disciples, reach some classmates, reach some coworkers, make an impact on your community, pray over and reach your city. Do it so much the more as that day comes. That day is coming. So we're going to work until it comes, and we're going to pray until it comes, and we're going to be faithful until it comes, and we're going to be the church and reach those around us until he comes. I wonder if you just stretch a hand to heaven right now and ask for God's help. I feel like God, we're just going to pause right here. I feel like God's trying to get someone awake. Maybe you've been discouraged, or maybe you've been lulled to sleep, or maybe you've been distracted by some cares of life, and God's trying to get your attention today because there's a work, and there's a city we got to reach, and there's some coworkers and some unsaved loved ones that we've got to reach today. I feel like God is stirring us awake today. Jesus, he's coming soon. Until he comes, there's work to be done. There are vessels and houses to clean, and there's a harvest to gather. According to Matthew 9 and 37, that harvest is plentiful. Plenty of work to be done. And if we're going to see that work finished and that harvest gathered, we've got to do it together. It's amazing to me that the more I study the day of the Lord and his second coming, the more I came upon passages that called for unity and love for one another in light of that day. Of course, our text references stirring one another to love and good works and assembling so much the more as the day draws near. But James 5 says, don't grumble against one another. 1 Peter 4 and 7 says, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all, have a fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable without grumbling. Ephesians 5 says he's going to present to himself a glorious church. Not a group of glorious individuals, but the body. Fact is, we've got too much work to be done to do any of this on our own today. My siblings and I, when it came down to the wire, we worked together better than we ever had before. We could be fighting all day and at each other's throats. But when the work needed to get done and the house needed to be clean, we got along great. We never got along better. We were more united when that hour was upon us than we ever were. We just don't have time for divisiveness. We didn't have time to argue over our opinions or our way of doing things. We didn't have time for the petty stuff and the stuff that really didn't matter in the end. In the face of the soon arrival of our parents, we set all the peripheral differences aside and we rallied around what truly mattered. All the fringe arguments, all the disagreements, they didn't inhibit us. Instead, we just focused on what was most important. This word is what really matters, church. This great commission and our eternal destination are what really matters. I know there's more to life that we grapple with, but we don't have time for the fringe stuff. Arguments and opinions, we don't have time to latch on to the temporal and things that are eternally inconsequential. We don't have time for distractions and endless debates over things that will not matter in eternity. We've got work to be done. And we've got to rally around what really matters this morning and in this last hour. We've got a harvest to gather. Houses to clean, disciples to make, neighborhoods to reach. He's coming soon. Ask the musicians to come. This morning, I think it would be an understatement to say, I feel an urgency in my spirit. I hope it's contagious in this room and in this service. In fact, I could tell you that it was amplified all over again this week, especially on Thursday night during Brother Bernard's message. I was already anticipating being here this morning, conveying the word of the Lord, when Brother Bernard relayed that prophecy he had heard from Elder Brother Daniel Scott. For those that don't know, Brother Scott has been involved in about every single ministry you can imagine. He told me himself in February, he and his wife had personally discipled nearly 50,000 people in the United States, and they were growing a Spanish work here. That doesn't include the many lives they impacted as missionaries. In other words, he's an elder in every sense of the word. Last year in August 2019, he wrote that letter to Brother Bernard, included a prophecy. We're already seeing it lived out. Many of you have heard it, but I think it's appropriate to read it in light of what we're discussing today. This is an excerpt from the letter. It tells Brother Bernard, this morning in my usual 5 to 6 a.m. devotion, God spoke of me to send this to you. Please allow me to be candid. I feel in light of what God has spoken, we should prepare with a stark faith to ensure the soon to come harvest. I believe this with my entire being. I've listened carefully to your messages of late, and I feel like God has you in a place to facilitate the future direction of the church to care for the harvest to come. This was the prophecy the Lord spoken in this man of God. My son, I will send a devastation on the land of the United States, the like of which has never been experienced. Devastation will come with destruction multiplied times over, and the people will tremble. And I'll do this to bring the nation to its knees. Even the kings of the earth shall be clothed in fear. The entire population of the United States will then know the paths of treachery. Their leaders have traveled to destroy the faith of so many. My people, who are called by my name, will be tried severely. But my purpose will be to show myself to be their God, even before I come to gather them to me. But the end is not yet. This will take place just prior to my return, and I'll use this devastation to cause many spiritual prodigals who have turned away from me to return and reconsecrate their lives to me. And many who have left the love of righteousness and the gospel to realign their principles also. I will bring multitudes to know me, because at that time there will be a revelation that all men everywhere will know that I am the only Lord God. Sat in my living room listening to that prophetic word. Something churned my spirit. There is a witness in the Holy Ghost. There is an urgency in the church at large, and I feel it in this room today, in this service. We are in the final hours. We're in the home stretch. We've got houses to clean. We've got work to be done. We've got unity to achieve this morning. I wonder if you believe it and if you feel that urgency, would you just stand to your feet and lift your hands together and begin to respond to the Word of God, whatever way your spirit leads you to do. I wonder if there could just be the sound of prayer that would begin to rise up in this room from a church that is looking for and anticipating the day, that great day that's been promised, and that great day that we will not meet with fear, but we'll meet with anticipation and faith, and we'll meet with joy. I look forward to that day, Lord, but I don't take it for granted that it's close and it's coming soon. I see the signs, Lord, I see. And I hear what you've spoken, God. I hear what you've spoken through these men of God. And today I respond to your word. I respond and I tell you, I believe what you're doing, Lord. I believe what the word says. I believe what your book says, God. I believe that final statement, revelation that you're coming soon, Lord. I believe it today, and I respond like I believe, and I want to live like I believe that you are coming soon. Oh, I wonder if some believers would just begin to lift your voice right now and be led in the Holy Ghost as you pray. There's some people God wants to bring to your mind right now that He's already targeted in your life. He's already prepared their hearts for a conversation, for you to be able to share the gospel with them, and this opportunity for repentance and baptism and being filled with the power of His Spirit. Oh, we're going to be led of your Spirit in these last days, Lord. Jesus' name. I think this is a great opportunity for repentance this morning. And I wonder, as individuals and as a body, if we could just do that together, whatever way you feel. Would you just pray a prayer of repentance and clean the house today? And don't be surprised if God highlights some things and says, no, those don't need to be in the house. You need to get rid of those. I wonder if we could repent this morning as a body and as individuals. God, I repent before you. I turn away, Jesus, from any sin or any darkness, Lord, anything that would be a spot or a blemish in my life. I pray that if I don't know about it, Lord, if I've done it subconsciously, bring it to my heart and my mind today. Let me know what I'm doing wrong, and I pray for your forgiveness. I turn, Lord, from any darkness and any sin today. We repent before you and ask for that forgiveness, Lord. In the name of Jesus. your name. Along with that, I've just felt the call to work and to revival in these hours. There's some specific things I feel like God has placed on your hearts, and I know there's some things He's placed on mine. Maybe some things I put off thinking I had the time. I don't wonder if you're feeling something specific or just a call in general. We're all called to reach someone, to disciple someone. If we could take a moment here and respond to the call of God and commit to that call. Not again, not out of fear, not out of some kind of pressure, but because we want to see that revival in this hour and these days. Would you do that with me right now and lift your hands and let's pray. Oh God, I respond to that call. Who are desperate and are ready for the gospel. I pray you'd help me to get to work, Lord, not to be idle, not to be distracted or drawn to sleep or lulled to sleep, but help me this morning to work, God. Help me this morning to respond to the call of God. Let there be an urgency in me that I've got to go reach someone and help someone. There's prodigals, Lord, that are ready to come home if I'd invite them. Jesus. Oh, God. Jesus, I know what time it is this morning. I just want to make room for the Holy Ghost to call someone and to start putting some names on someone's heart and life. God's given you a treasure in an earthen vessel. He's given you a gospel to share. Oh, and if there's ever been a time to share it, God, help me to realize the hour. Oh, Jesus. Last prayer I want us to pray. Prayer of unity. We need to be united, church. I want the body to be as strong as ever when He comes, not a weak and frail being or body limping across the finish line. But I believe there's strength for the body today, and it comes by us uniting together and linking with one another. I wonder if you just pray with me over this church family and the church at large, that God would give us strength in this hour and this time. Would you lift your voices and pray with me, church? Lord, we need your help, Jesus. We need your help, God. I pray that we come into the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace today, Lord, that we would be bound together by unbreakable chains, that this church and this family would stand united, and we would stand as a family, that we would fight for one another, that we'd carry one another if needed, Lord. We'd stand with one another, God. And if I see a brother or a sister faltering or falling, I'd come alongside and gird them up and strengthen them. And if I see, Lord, a brother or a sister turning away from truth, God, and I'd help them and I'd speak to them. Give me the boldness, Lord. I pray for unity in the house today and in this body and in this family. In the name of Jesus, we pray. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Feel God's help and strength today. Pray before service. Lord, don't let me preach this and then go live a different way. Help me to walk out of here today like you're coming soon, and to live in light of your coming. That's my desire today. Maybe by the end of the day, I'll have reached out to someone. Send them a text. How easy is that? Because I know I want them to have the same opportunity I have. So thankful for God's help and His word. Pastor mentioned a powerful week, general conference. If you didn't have a chance to watch some of those messages, I encourage you to go back and watch them. Brother Bernard on Thursday night just sounded a clear call that we see Jesus in the middle of this season. We prepare like He's coming. Also, like he mentioned, we encourage you to be a part of North American Missions offering and global missions. Pastor Williford presented those, at least North American missions, on Wednesday night. We're going to send an offering. If you'd like to contribute to that, feel free. Mark it. North American missions are cities worth saving. And we're going to do our part in this hour, in this season, not only here, but across the world. God's going to use us today. Why don't we thank the Lord again for His presence and His power that's been here today. Thank You for Your word, God. I thank You for Your grace and mercy and Your glory that's been here the entire day. Help us to leave here with that glory and that weight of Your presence on our lives. And I pray we'd share it with someone as we leave today, Lord. Let someone else be changed by it in the wake of what You've done in our spirits and our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. I'm going to go ahead and begin to dismiss.